You're a part of a project where you have listed 15 countries as a watch list for genocide. Can you tell me more about this?
Sure. So this is work done by a group that I lead called the Atrocity Forecasting Project. And this is the second version of this list of countries at risk of genocide and politicide that we've produced. So we produced the first list to cover the period 2011 to 2015. And now we're producing a list for the subsequent period, so 2016 to 2020. And we use a statistical model. We get data from all countries in the world that have available data. And then we use a number of risk factors or predictors to create the list, and we choose just the top 15 countries from the list and flag them as most at risk.
Okay, and what are the risk factors?
Well, there are a lot of them. There are 19 altogether, and we've spent a long time developing our model. But there are two types of risk factors. So one might be called structural factors. They're things that don't change a lot over time, but they indicate a sort of a continuing structural condition that makes the beginning of a genocide or a politicide, which is political mass killing events. So those are things like a high infant mortality rate, a large number of ethnic groups in a country, laws or practices that systematically discriminate against particular groups in society. And then we have a number of time variant factors, or factors that change year in and year out, that I believe add a lot of the accuracy to our model. This is one of the things that we've spent a lot of time on, and it distinguishes our project from some others out there. Things like whether there's been change in the political system in the last few years, in either a moving towards a more democratic system or away from democratic institutions, whether there's conflict in a neighboring country, whether there are things like guerrilla tactics being used in an internal conflict. Things like that are in the model.
What is genocide? How would you personally define genocide? Because with the high number of people dying in Africa and Afghanistan, why are they not labeled as genocide?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think it's an issue because the term genocide, not so much the term politicide, but genocide is used in many different ways. But we use a definition that was developed by a scholar named Barbara Harf, who is one of the leaders in genocide studies, especially using quantitative statistical methods. And basically this identifying an event of mass killing as a genocide. So the killing must target a specific group, and the group must be defined either by their ethnicity, their ethnic identity, defined in some way, usually by the perpetrators, as of a certain ethnic group, or they must be defined by their political identity. So they could just be the political opposition or the bourgeoisie. If you think of the Cambodian genocide, as it's commonly called, it really wasn't directed at any ethnic group, but at the political opposition to the Khmer Rouge. It involved Vietnamese as well as Cambodians. That it's that targeting that's one part of the definition, and another part of the definition is the intent to destroy the group either in whole or in part, and that comes from the language of the UN Genocide Convention.
You mentioned earlier that you would like to have a change in the definition of genocide. How would you want that? What would the definition be?
I think we need to have some understanding of the magnitude of the intended killing. That's more precise. because now, I mean, there in the data that we use, there are some events that include huge numbers of people who are killed, and there are some events where it's really not clear that the intent was ever to kill very large numbers of people. And so I think what's important is not to decide on some kind of, you know, macabre threshold of so many people are killed and that makes a genocide, but to create a scale and get away from, you know, attaching so much to the label genocide, and but create a scale of this targeted mass killing, which is a term that I prefer, and get a sense of its severity, but its severity not only in whether it sort of succeeds or not in actually killing large numbers of people, but also whether the intention was to do that.
So don't you think the 15 countries that you've listed, it will cause them to panic, the people, which may cause instability in these countries?
Well, I mean, I don't think that our list has such wide, you know, it's not so widely known or has such wide currency that it could cause panic in these countries. Some countries on the list in the previous period, I mean, we did hear from some mainly just regular citizens or other scholars from countries that didn't seem, you know, it was surprising they were on the list to people who lived in those countries and in some cases to us as well. So, I mean, of course, there's some distress that may be caused if a country appears on a list, but the purpose of our list is not simply to flag, you know, tag these countries as places where bad things might happen, but is to provide a tool, a rigorous, reliable tool for early warning.
And my last question will be, how do you think this project will be helpful?
Well, yeah, I mean, building on my last answer, we know that our list is, you know, it has the attention of the UN offices for genocide prevention. It has the attention of governments in U.S., Europe, and Australia, and there are a lot of people thinking about what can be done to better identify these situations before they blow up into large-scale mass killing. The list can be useful not only by alerting outsiders, but also by alerting the people who might be contemplating committing what is usually a very deliberate and well-planned act, mass killing of a political or economic or ethnic group, that they're being monitored. And if they're being monitored, there's going to be evidence collected that eventually can lead them to be punished if they actually commit these, you know, the gravest crimes against humanity that exists.
Well, thank you for your time. It's a very interesting project.
Thanks, Sabita. Thanks again for the interest in our work.